Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson. Today, I'm bringing you something a little bit different. And I have to tell you, you're going to learn things that have always perplexed me about traffic and traffic signals and management. This is Traffic Technologies. ASX code is TTI. Joining me today is Con Liosatis. He's the Managing Director. Lots of changes, lots of growth. Con, welcome to Small Caps. Great to see you. I love the background.
Thank you, Kerry.
This is the first time we've introduced you to our Small Caps community. So, Con, let's start with giving a brief overview of who are Traffic Technologies.
Thanks, Gary. Look, Traffic Technologies is the foremost provider of hardware and software solutions to road authorities, councils and power companies across Australia, New Zealand and overseas.
And overseas. So it's not just Australia, New Zealand, you're global.
Yes, we are. Our equipment and software and solutions are provided to over 20-odd countries worldwide. We're across 30-odd thousand intersections worldwide where our software and our hardware is installed.
I have to ask you this question before we get into this. You know, when you drive up to lights, because you just talked about, it's Traffic Technologies, I come up to a traffic light and all of a sudden it goes green and I'm like, is someone watching me? Is that you guys?
Well, partly it is, yes. It's what it is. As traffic moves up towards an intersection, there are sensors around in that intersection, which actually takes on board the amount of vehicles at an intersection, and that is what triggers the change in sequencing in traffic lights. And that comes through sensors in the road, whether it be line detection or above with radars, and it's fed back into the supercomputers.
Goodness me. How long has this been around? How long has it taken a while? And are you right across all of Australia? I'm just trying to get my head around, are there parts of Australia that don't have this technology?
No, all intersections with that within this country have that technology. The software itself is called SCATS, which is a Sydney-based program. It comes from the Sydney government, the old RMS days, or Transport for New South Wales, what it's called now. And it is across over 40,000 intersections across the world. And we are one of the licensees of that software.
You're a licensee of that software, but you've got the majority of what's happening in Australia.
Not the majority. We're one of three in this country and one of three of worldwide. So we can, through that software, we add software to it in order to control sequencing of lights in our format.
Where does the revenue come from, Con?
The revenue comes from the sales of hardware and software across, as I said earlier, from road authorities, councils, tier one infrastructure programs and power companies.
Now, I want to get into some numbers. This is an investor audience. Your trading revenue has increased by 18% to just over 52 million compared to the previous year. And your EBITDA has, I believe, improved by over 200% to 4.5 million. What's that? Where's that growth coming from?
That's been attributed by our profile, which we started a few years ago, into dedication in the involvement in smart city, which involves IoT devices and
what's an IoT device? Sorry,
Internet of Things devices that actually go into the internet. Yeah, okay,
the Internet of Things. Okay, yep.
But ITS equipment, which is intelligent transport equipment, like we spoke about before about the intersections.
Yep.
What controls that? The software behind it and the hardware. And of course, lighting, because that gives us our umbrella. All the street lights you see on your motorways and streets, that's a lot of these us. And with that has all sensors.
So that growth, you mentioned smart cities. What is a smart city?
A smart city is one that actually connects with the community. Now, there's various different terms people use to smart cities, and I'll really simplify it. You're walking down the street and your local council has messaging that comes up on the boards of weather alerts, road alerts, or whatever's happening down. That's getting that information to the public, which you can actually receive it either in your car or on your personal device. And it's about informing people to make realistic decisions at that time. That's what really encompasses a smart city. And that also helps in the environmental and financial impact and the safety on our roads.
How does it help environmentally? What's the, when you say environmental impact?
Well, by keeping roads flowing.
Right.
In a smooth and not having roadblocks and not having traffic jams. I know that's a bit crazy because there are a lot of them around the place.
Yep.
By keeping cars moving and flowing in an efficient manner, that actually reduces the CO2 emissions by not having cars just sit there idling for hours and days upon time.
That makes sense. That makes sense. You know, with smart cities, is that the main area of growth for traffic technologies at the moment?
That is a very strong part of our growth area there.
Talk to us about the different areas that TTI are involved in. We've spoken smart cities. What else are you doing? What I'm trying to get a feel for is there's been enormous growth, and in fact, your net profit after tax was posted at $200,000, and that compared to a loss of over $13 million the previous year. Right. So that's massive.
Yes.
What I'd like to know is what are the different areas that TTI is involved with, and where do you see the growth is going to come from in the future? Is it smart cities or something else?
Yep, sure. Look, the segments that we actually play in, as I mentioned earlier, are road authorities, councils, and power companies. We supply hardware to all those parties, all those sectors, and we supply software to all those sectors. The hardware part of it, it could be broken up into a number of things. And we call that, whether it be hardware of computers or hardwares in street lights, traffic lights, and so forth. So we are the oldest traffic light supplier in this country, which is over 40 years. And it started in New South Wales. And that's expanded all the way through to across the country and overseas. The push buttons that you cross the road, you actually press. That's us.
Oh, really? There you go. Who knew? I love this.
Pedestrian countdown timers where you cross the road. That's us. The emergency telephones you see on the right side of the roads. That's us. So it's about taking all those products, and that's where revenue streams have previously come from, which now have gone all digital, and bringing it into the smart city profile. So not only do we have a forward market of growth in smart city, but we've got all the legacy products of hardware, which now are being digitized as well. And that's heading the future as well.
Is the digitization, does that mean with digitization that you can become more efficient?
Yes.
And B, you need less headcount potentially? So I guess.
I don't want to say that. But look, in hindsight, yeah, there's different ways of doing things. One is you still need people because we are one of the last manufacturers in this country of this equipment. Everyone else is offshore, and every other competitor that we face are all overseas companies and do not produce in this country.
Excuse me, Con, for interrupting. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody needs to support traffic technologies. You're manufacturing in this country. Massive. Well done.
In Melbourne and Sydney, we have two productive facilities. And we over the years, there's been enormous pressures to go offshore, but we have pushed hard to get through it. Of course, we buy components from overseas. We have to. But it has been challenging, but it's been good at the same time.
What was the reason for keeping it within Australia? I mean, I'm a massive fan of keeping things in Australia and the, you know, the added value that gives with bringing jobs.
Quality, security over your IP, and warranties that we provide.
Okay.
We're dealing with public spaces and public money. We're dealing with ratepayers. We're dealing with governments here where the expectations are that they want to see this product work for a number of years. Mm-hmm. So the investment that we put into our R&D and into our products that actually hit the roads, which we, you know, control people's lives on the road, have to be bulletproof.
Speaking of governments and infrastructure, are we seeing a lot more? I mean, we've had that dreaded C thing that's happened for the last 2 years. Are you seeing a lot more investment from governments into infrastructure? And as a result, does that mean that the future for traffic technologies is going to be stronger?
Enormous amounts of investment into infrastructure. I think we've all seen the government programs that are out there across the country. And the growth in these major projects, which we're all part of, is huge for quite a few years to come.
In July, you announced a $15 million contract signed in 2008 to supply the low wattage, the LED street lamps in Tassie.
Yes.
And I believe that's been extended for a further 12 months. What does that add to the bottom line, and will that continue, and what's Tasmania like as part of your portfolio?
Tasmania has been a great success story from us. Previously, we had zero in Tasmania. To date, we are the only supplier of efficient LED streetlights to the market down there. And Tas Networks, as a customer, has been nothing but fantastic to deal with. Amazing organisation, which is quite rare these days.
And I guess in terms of, there's all this talk about zero carbon emissions and making things more efficient. What you're delivering with these LED lights and more efficient use of, as you say, the streetlights being, you know, smart technology, smart cities, I would have thought the growth, and, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the growth for traffic technologies, not just in Australia, but globally, would be quite strong. But are there lots of other people doing something similar to you?
The growth is still very strong in this country with the changeover of old technology to new LED efficient technology, where there's some over 80% saving in power and over 70% saving in maintenance costs as well.
So wow.
It's a win-win across the board. And the incentives given by federal government back to state government and of councils to change over these programs is really, really jumping in the forefront right now. Only 30-odd% of the country's legacy technology has been changed over. So we've still got growth corridors for years ahead on that to occur. Overseas, yes, good question on overseas. Our products here are built for the Australian market, which the Australian standards are very much right in the top one, two or three across the world. For us to enter into overseas markets means we have to spend more in R&D in developing those markets as well, which we are doing right now. We're working in a few countries for our efficient LED lights to go into. UK is actually one of them right now.
Oh, well, the UK would be a big market, but in percentage terms, there's still an enormous amount of growth here in Australia.
Yes.
What percentage of focus is here in Australia versus overseas? Because, you know, I guess you could grow almost too quickly.
That's right.
And you know, be the master of everything, you know what I mean?
Correct. Yeah, no, definitely. Look, the Australian market, there are just over 3 million streetlights that need to be changed over, with 30% done to date. So we still have over 2 million to change over. At a running rate, they're roughly, government programs are running around 100,000 to 120,000 per year. That's usually running around. So there's still growth to be had in this country.
But Con, who else is doing it apart from yourselves?
Oh, we have competitors in this country, no doubt, as we do overseas. And I call the big companies like the Philips of the world across the board, and companies like Siemens across the board, our competitors.
So what makes you win the contracts over them? Is it price? Is it service? Is it what is it?
It's performance. It's Australian made. It's price as well. You don't have to be the cheapest, but you need to be the most efficient out of what you do out there.
It's a really good story, as I said before, especially in that sort of this zero carbon environment that we're going into, because you tick those boxes. Now, I understand as well, and this is important for investors to know, that you've just won a contract, quite a large contract, with Coats. Could you just elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes, we've been successful in having a contract awarded to us for just over $5 million. It was actually $5 million for the supply of our mobile intelligent electronic signs across Australia. And these mobile signs, we've all come across them. These are these big electronic signs you see on the side of the roads.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. That's our product range, part of our product range and our portfolio. So that's a big coup for us.
If you were looking at the past growth and then coming into the future, I mentioned earlier that there was a loss of just over 13 million last year. Mm-hmm. And this year you booked a profit of 200,000. What has been the massive, that is a massive turnaround.
It is a massive turnaround. It's come from the profile, as I said earlier, that we're developing heading into that smart city portfolio and the products and services we can deliver. Not only more efficient to manufacture and design, but also to deploy in the roads and along with the software that comes along with it. And the recurring revenue is the most important part that comes into play.
Right.
So far our revenue, as you said earlier, just over 52 million. Our recurring revenue is somewhat of 40% year upon year.
That is very, very good. Now, at the start of November, you announced a share placement to raise just over 2 million, right. But you've also got a rights issue happening at the moment. Talk to me about the rights issue.
Yes, we're approximately trying to raise $10 million, and that'll be for the repayment of debt, which will have a $1.7 million saving in interest, which will drop straight to the bottom line. So it's a huge saving.
Is that rights issue open? Tell me about the time frame around that and when you expect that to close.
The rights issue started last week. With completion, I'm pretty sure it's at the end of this month that it'll be completed, if not just stretched over into December.
All right. So, Con, we're running out of time. What I'd like to know is, this is how I finish all of my interviews, Con. Sure. This is an investor audience. What they look at, there's so many different ones out there. And, of course, in Australia, it's a lot about resources and, you know, energy and all that sort of thing. Traffic technology is a bit different. What I'd like to know is, why should investors sit up and take notice of TTI right now?
Okay. First off, number one, repayment of debt and the $1.7 million saving to the bottom line. Number two, the enormous expansion of smart cities gives the company TTI very strong future growth as a result. And number three, revenue of over $52 million and 40% recurring year on year. It's time to be re-rated, and what a great time to take notice of TTI.
Well, what a great way to finish. And I love the story of number one, manufacturing here in Australia. That's, to me, is a massive tick. And number two, I think the zero carbon emission environment we're going into, that smart city technology and where you're connecting communities, is massive. So I thank you for joining us on Small Caps. Once that rights issue is done, maybe early next year, let's come back and have a talk about how things are going with you. But for now, Con, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on Small Caps today.
Thank you, Kerry, and thank you very much for your time.